This morning, the scripture reading is Mark 6, 35 to 44. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are you we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, "Five and two fishes." Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all, and all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. This is the reading of the word.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you've been up to the Shaler Library, many of you have, some of you haven't, but the library is here, and then there's a driveway, and the driveway is shared with the Shaler Middle School. That's 7th and 8th grade students. And so during the school year, every day at a certain time, we get a rush of middle schoolers, 7th and 8th graders. And it makes for a very lively place. And they come upstairs, and we get to know a lot of them. It can get a little rowdy, but generally, it's an awesome injection of a different kind of fun. Like when Miss Carol was there, it was an injection of fun this Monday. That was so nice. I love seeing you all in different places too. But there's one particular group that comes, and we've gotten to know them very well. I've gotten to know them very well. They have a ritual. Because when these kids come over, they're antsy, they're excited, and they are hungry. And so there's a group of six kids, and they come over, they go through the same thing. They come to a table, they drop all their bags, their coats, their books, and then they empty out all of their pockets with their change and their crumpled dollar bills, and they put everything together to see what kind of snack foods they can get from the dollar store on the other side of the middle school. Sometimes they even have enough to get a pizza from Frank's. But this week, I think it was it Monday or Tuesday, there was one girl in the group, Carly, she was not having a good day. You could just tell from when she walked in, she looked like she'd been just through it. We've had those days. And so when everybody else was opening their pockets and their book bags and putting it all out there, Carly just slumped in the chair, and then she slid to the floor, and she said, "Got nothing." And I could tell that she didn't just mean dollar bills and coins. And I have had days like that. And I wonder if you have too. I've had really dramatic days, events that have happened. And then some seem to happen more frequently. Like the day I remember my 30th birthday, I stood in the pulpit at North Hills Community Baptist Church. I told these beautiful people that I was leaving the ministry. I was burned out, exhausted, and I was no longer able to serve with them. Other days like that, when I had nothing, they happen when someone comes to me and shares with me a diagnosis, a horrible situation, when you hear of a death. And then the question is asked, why did this happen? Those times happen when I read that more than 1,300 of God's precious children have died this past week as a result of the conflict in the Middle East. In these times, I got nothing. Empty. And there's an Episcopal priest in Texas, Father Michael, and he calls these 5 loaves and 2 fish days. Sometimes they last more than a day. But these 5 loaves and 2 fish days, we all have them. And they're just one of the reasons why we turn to this mysterious, holy, sacred book, our Bible. And why all these years later, we can read these stories and they still speak to us in new ways. I mean, I don't know about you, but it's not even nearly as old, and Dickens doesn't speak to me. So how is the Bible an ancient, ancient word? Well, just take a look at this miracle, the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark. And the disciples, they are coming to Jesus. They have an I got nothing moment. They look at themselves, they look at the situation, and they think, we don't have anything here. We can't feed these people. In fact, we your disciples, we can't even convince the crowd to go home. We're not even going to try. And so they come to Jesus and they say, you send them away. They're going to listen to you. But Jesus, in the same place, sees the same crowd. Here's the situation, and he says to his disciples, you guys feed them. And they explain, well, we don't have enough money. We only have 5 bags of bread. We just have 2 fish. We got nothing. But Jesus sees those same loaves, the fish, and sees the disciples, and he still thinks, well, this is possible. How can Jesus and the disciples see this situation so differently? What kind of eyes, what kind of LASIK surgery did Jesus get? And I believe that what our story shows us today, one thing is that Jesus saw with eyes of compassion. And that's what made the difference. Jesus must have felt empty himself. He just learned that his cousin John had been beheaded by Herod. He's been teaching and healing and feeding, and he goes off to try to get some rest, and he finds out that everybody's there waiting for him, and he must have been thinking, I have nothing left to give. But he sees these spiritually hungry people wanting him to keep teaching, and with the eyes of compassion, he's able to give. Now, don't mistake the message here. Jesus isn't saying that it's not good and important to care for oneself. I mean, that's just what he was trying to do, to get away and rest. But he still did have something to give. And remember, he is the actual Son of God. I mean, we're children of God, but, you know, we believe Jesus was special. So if you need to get away and rest, please know that that is important. But it's Jesus' eyes of compassion that lead him, his heart, for the hurting and the empty. They allow him to look around during this food insecurity crisis here and see the possibilities in the disciples. And he says, you can do this. He sees the possibility in these meager resources. He says, we can make do with this. God can make do. Now, many people believe that this was an actual physical miracle, that Jesus physically multiplied the fish and the bread, and everyone was fed, and there were leftovers. And And just as many others believe that this was an act of generosity, that someone gave first and then others began to feel their hearts moved and changed and softened, and they gave and they gave and they gave, and everyone was fed and there was more than enough. And wherever you land is not essential. But what is essential is that we pay attention to the way Jesus sees the disciples, the way he sees the resources, the way he sees the people in need, and then the way that he moves. And we can remember that this is just how Jesus looks at us. We're his disciples now, our resources. This is how he looks at our resources. And this is also how he looks at those who are hurting and empty now. And Jesus is saying to each one of us, you can do this. You can move with power and a sense of abundance until everyone has their fill, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And what about when we are empty? When you got nothing? I know some of us have nothing right now. We can look to one another and we can look to God's world and receive our sustenance. And I'm sure this has happened to you. I'm sure there has been a time, maybe many times, when you have just, you're done. And then you get a text, or then you get a call, or then somebody gives you a hug and it hasn't taken your problem away, but it sustains you. This happened to me on Friday. I was having a 5 loaves and 2 fish week, and I had I got nothing to give day. Unfortunately, it was 7 in the morning. And I was scheduled for a lot of different things. And the first thing that day was what we call adopt a grandparent story time. And I think I've talked about it before, but once a month at different personal care homes in the memory care, we invite families with children to come. And what we do is we give them a little glimpse of what we do in story time. And it is magical because the residents, no matter where they are on their Alzheimer's or dementia journey, they remember these songs that these little kids are singing. They love to see these children. The parents and the children love it because families don't stay in one place anymore. And some people, this is their exposure to older people. And it's such a wonderful reciprocal relationship. But it takes a lot of energy and a lot of giving. And my partner that I do it with on Friday mornings at Orton Cart, she was at the dentist. And I think I would have rather been at the dentist. And the kids were off school. And so I knew we weren't going to have that many young families there. And so I was going to have to dance around all by myself with that pink hat. And I get to Orton Cart, and there's a room of 20 or so people with Alzheimer's and other dementias. And 3 little families showed up to share their love. There were 2 3-year-olds and there were 2 babies in arms. And I did think, this is a pretty small group. How can we do this? What's going to happen? But I got to tell you, those kids, these tiny little kids, they danced, they sang, the children marched, the faces of the residents beamed, tears flowed. We had more than enough. And I was still exhausted afterwards. And I still had many more miles to go that day. And I thought about going home and taking the rest of the day off. And I could have, but I didn't need to. Because right before I left, what I always do is with each resident, I get down and I take their hand and I thank them for their hospitality and for allowing us in their home to act strangely and weirdly. And there is a couple who sits in the back of Arden Court Memory Care, and they keep their eyes closed the whole time, but they hold on to each other very, very tightly. And this Friday, when I went to the woman and I thanked her, she opened her eyes, and she's not verbal anymore, but she kissed my hand here, and then she kissed each one of my five fingers. And I have to tell you, if somebody would have said to me, does God need to give you a woman that you don't know kissing your hand and your five fingers to help you go on and do what you're called to today? I wouldn't have thought so. But this woman, she must have had a sense for what I needed. Because in that tender moment, this frail woman, who many people would see as, oh, well, what could she possibly offer? What does she give to the world? Oh, my goodness. Her God-given love was overflowing, and she gave it to me. And it filled me. The eyes of compassion, these are what Jesus had, what this woman had. And we all have eyes of compassion. Maybe we just need to use them a little more and consider where our eyes of compassion are drawing us next and what it might move us to do. And also, maybe now you are empty and you are wondering where your next physical or spiritual meal is going to come from. Then I invite you to look to the front, look to the right, look to the left, because we are all here, God's children, the Christ living within us. And we, each one of us, we have more staying power, more thriving power than we realize. Thanks be to our bountiful God. Amen.